So I'm on the BJJ Fanatics website, and I see three new videos by some guy named Thomas Radzinski. You familiar with that guy at all?
Nope, absolutely not.
No? Well, he's got some good stuff. Three brand new videos. They're getting amazing reviews, which is good to see as well. But you got to tell us about them real quick?
Yeah. You know, I had you guys already know, but I had opportunity to go to Boston, shoot three more instructionals, one on butterfly hook, complete guide for butterfly hook, two, wrap, lapel, and submit them. And three, we have taking the back. It's particularly designed for guys for over 40 because there is no climbing involved. All the back days are on the ground. Very, very full and effective system. So dip into it. I'm really hoping that this is going to help your jiu-jitsu and really take it to the next level.
BJJFanatics.com. Just search R-O-Z-D-Z. We have all had that situation where after class is when we want to ask a question. And Thomas, a lot of those questions you've already answered, right, at Ask a Black Belt.
Yeah, it's another podcast that I'm running. It's on podcast, all podcast platforms, plus on YouTube. You can find it anywhere. Just search for my name. Search for Ask a Black Belt. At this point, over 100 episodes, different questions, jiu-jitsu, life-related, but something that everybody comes across, and often these questions sink in our mind, but we don't ask for whatever reason. So if that benefits you, go there, listen. It actually might help your jiu-jitsu, might help your life as well. And if you have any questions, find me on Instagram and drop me a line. I'll be happy to answer your question and mention your name during the episode.
Welcome. Raw Radio.
And we're alive.
There you go. Yep. So
another dirty dozen.
We're halfway there, man.
I know.
Dirty half dozen.
You're halfway into six. Yeah. I mean, halfway into 12. Jesus, I can't even speak.
Yeah. Math's not your strong suit.
No. Well, actually, used to be, but then I guess I got old.
Sure. Blame it on that if you want.
I'd listen. I'll take anything I can. But Rick Williams.
Yeah, cool dude.
Yeah.
That's a cool story.
No, yeah. No, absolutely. Like,
living a cool life right now.
So. Well, yeah. Talk about like the last 10 minutes of the episode.
We've had people drop some names. Nobody dropped these names. And he didn't drop the names. It was casual conversation because he was relating it to what we were talking about.
I know.
Listen to the episode.
If you have not listened and you want to hear about Rick Williams lifting weights with Kobe Bryant, just do it. Like, you got to listen to it. That's fine. Go and listen. Go and listen. I mean, it's cool. The last 10 minutes of the episode was really to the next. I feel like we should bring him back just to talk about the NBA stuff.
I wonder if he would. Because he seemed kind of embarrassed when I asked him about it. But
I don't think so. I mean, there is an element of pride, I think, in a lot of it. Yeah, the guy has a lot of stories. Hanging out with LeBron and all the other guys. I mean, that's great, you know. But if we take it back to the jiu-jitsu world.
Yeah, and then he's dropping the names, the biggest names of that world, too.
Hanging out. Like, there was a moment during that episode where he goes like, yeah, Hoyce and I, we just hung out. We were like brothers, yeah, you know? And I'm like,
in the morning,
and I'm like, what?
No, I mean, this dude was at the luncheons, the meetings, when they were forming, you know, the first UFC.
But that's later.
Right,
I'm talking about like,
well, not that much later. I mean, but you know, from his
well, few years, right? Yeah. I mean, but that few years is like the development. Jesus sure. Christ!
I thought your math was good.
I'm foreign. You there forget about this. There you go. I'll continue milking this until I'm 90. Mm-hmm. But that's the part of the life where we develop the most. You know, as part of growing up, right? Like he literally in his teenage years, he hangs out with Hoyce Gracie. They are neighbors. Like it's part of it. It's part of it. Like part of life. Like, can you imagine? You know,
like part, I don't know. What were you doing when you were 12 or 14? Like, you were not hanging out with Horace Gracie, that's for sure.
No, I mean, as a teenager, I was just running around in the neighborhood.
Exactly. Yeah. Riding bikes or skateboards or whatever. Yeah. Speaking of skateboard, how's your foot?
My foot's fine. My ankle is a little beat up.
For those of you who don't know, Gary is changing his professions. He's quitting jiu-jitsu and he's going to be a professional skateboarder.
I think at 50, when you're coming close to the double nickels, 55, it's a good time to go out and buy a skateboard.
Is it?
The best time.
Is it?
Yep.
All right, you let me know how that works out because I still have a few years left to double nickels.
Yeah, I wiped out. I did a break fall.
tell that story because I love that.
All right, well, long story short, I used to ride a longboard, right? I never had a regular sized deck where I was doing tricks or anything like that. I rode a longboard. I tooled around the neighborhood. You know, and I didn't even start that till I was 30, close to 30. You know, had a skateboard as a little kid. But anyway, so if you're familiar with my longboard was huge, right? So when you're standing on it, you can have a very wide stance and your feet are still within the trucks. So I bought this cruiser and it's about the size of a regular deck. It's just the wheels and the trucks are bigger. But the deck size is pretty much standard. And so it takes some getting used to. So I got my front foot on and I'm still doing it. When I put my back foot on, it's on the tail. It's on the tail. So when you put your foot on and you put any pressure, it pushes the tail forward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I launched it out in front of me and, you know, just went over, you know, feet up in the air, came down on my butt and tucked my chin and slapped the asphalt like I was doing a break fall.
Is this in a video somewhere?
I didn't even think of it. It is quite possibly on my ring video.
Oh, quite possibly. You have to pull it up.
I will go back and look.
You have to pull it. We got to post this.
What are we talking about? Rick and what was he? Thirst for knowledge.
What did your lovely wife say? What did your lovely wife say?
She looked... Well... So her look always goes from like disgust, like as she sees me on it, like Jesus Christ.
Shout out to disgust. Margaret.
And in that moment, it went from disgust to shock. But I popped right up and I was laughing, you know, trotted down the street to get the board. It initially just looked like a mat burn on my ankle, but it's really ugly and black now and gross. Not my ankle, just the area that got... The road rash. But the capper to the story is as I grabbed my skateboard and got back on, there was a little girl named Caitlin riding towards me, a neighborhood kid. And I was like, did you see me wipe out? And she's riding. And she said, yeah, yeah. I said, was it awesome? She was like, yeah, yeah. So it was fun. It's fun. Hey, man, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst? Literally, what's the worst that can happen? I'm not going to hit my head and die.
Because we need you around here.
If I come in and I got a cast on something, I can do 90% of my
job. Hold on. So this happened right before you took 2 days off work, right?
No. It happened in between me being here and recording a seminar for you and coming
from me
and coming back to help with a kid's event.
Yeah.
Within that time frame. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations to
waste on this.
A lot. And it was funny because everybody needs to hear this.
It's
and
good time.
Getting back to Rick, you know, one of the cool things about, I can't get the visual out of my head, you falling on the skateboard. I just can't get it out of my head. Anyway, what did you take away from Rick?
Rick had a big thirst for knowledge, he said, and he proved it. And he did something that most people didn't do, couldn't do, wouldn't have the forethought to do, and didn't know how much trouble he could get in while he was doing it and what he was doing. Just because he wanted to learn jiu-jitsu, as in the mornings he was training for a couple hours with the Gracies, and in the evenings he was training for a couple hours with the Machados, and didn't know that he was doing anything wrong, right? Back then, he was definitely doing something wrong. Because you just didn't do that. You didn't go back and forth. You know, you didn't train in different camps. You know, But when it was found out, he just said, you know, I just want to learn. I want to learn. And the way it was found out is kind of funny, is he was going back to Hoist in the morning and doing stuff. And Hoist was like, I didn't show you this. I didn't teach you this. Where are you going? And he told him. So, you know, it was just this guy wanted to learn jujitsu, you know, and it could be other people learning other things, but he wanted to learn jujitsu. So he went to the best people he could. And when he wasn't getting everything he wanted, he didn't just turn his back on somebody. He went and sought it out another place, and then was just doing it all together. And I think that's just amazing for a 19, 20 year old kid to be doing something like that.
Well, you know, this is the interesting part about jiu-jitsu in my general, my thought on my, you know, in my mind is that different instructors will teach us different things. And we are going to learn different things from different environments.
Yeah, for sure.
And those who are smart, I do believe that they have the ability to, one, reach out, two, seek the knowledge, and three, have open mind to cross-train wherever they find themselves in, right? And this is a very generic statement that I'm making here, but oftentimes, unfortunately, still is happening. There are places where cross-training is not welcome, and seeking knowledge from other people is not welcome. And I think that's the shame part of the jiu-jitsu culture today. And I get it. We are part of different teams. We are part of different organizations, different academies. But I feel like, you know, we got to let go a little bit of this quote-unquote betraying part, and not training with somebody else and not training at other places. I think there was a place for us to, where we can really reach out and seek the knowledge, you know, no matter where we find ourselves. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've come far enough, you know. Do you want it to be like, you know, the McDojos, where it's, we have to keep it a secret. I can't show you any of this stuff because it's deadly and I don't want anybody, you know,
deadly.
Or, you know, do you want it to be such a closed group? You know, I can sympathize why 30 years ago it was done. I get it. It was this burgeoning thing. It was, people were trying to build something. I get why somebody might be upset if, you know, student Tommy is training with you for a couple of years and then he goes to the new place down the street, or he switches, you know, cause he wants to do strictly no gi. So he goes to 10th Planet or whatever. I can get why that would upset you, or upset an instructor, but you know, you got to just let people explore and learn. Why would you want to stop anybody from learning? Would they come back to you with something to offer?
We talked about this before. Yeah. This often comes from insecurities, right?
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
Often comes from the fact that some leaders or instructors are not willing to take the risk and believe that the students will stay with them when they go and train somewhere else. I don't know. I have a hard time with this.
Yeah,
there's a big difference between training somewhere else and cross-training or seeking knowledge. I think there's a big difference, mm-hmm. you know? And if you're really in a competitive environment where belonging to a specific team is important, maybe those rules could be applicable. I don't know. Maybe they could be.
Well,
we are missing some things here, okay? And that's fine. But if we talk about in very generic and general statements or very general situations,
yeah.
If you, Joe Schmo, who has a professional career and is right. not jiu-jitsu, and you do jiu-jitsu as a hobby, why in the world would anybody stop you from going training and, you know, or watching seminar or going to a seminar or taking a private with another instructor? What right. out of that part, I have a hard time wrapping my mind around.
Yeah, I think if you're on a competition team, that's different, right? Because you're on a team that is trying to achieve
specific results.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I always think of Armin Fate, who was like, hey, Eddie Bravo, and hey, Henner, I want to train at both places because I just want to learn. I'm not going back and forth telling secrets. I'm not, you know, And I really, Jesus, at this time, everything's accessible everywhere. Nobody's, you know, like,
I think that's what annoys me the most about this. Now, I don't want to turn this into a bitching session, but like literally everybody's online. Yeah. Everybody is on video everywhere.
Yeah.
What is the difference them watching the video versus going them going to a seminar?
Right.
Go to a seminar and bring it back. Yeah. Teach somebody else.
Sure. Spread and if you've the world. Got the, and if you've got the money, go to two different have two different memberships. But, go to two different places.
You know what?
Yourself.
That's not uncommon. That's not unusual these days. Right. Like there's a lot of students who take advantage of it. And by the way, shout out, I'm gonna pivot this, but shout out to Armin, who was just I think he was, I don't know, in Ireland, I think. I remember. He trained with McGregor and then.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw that. And then, right. And then he took, a, you know, whatever, private lessons with Jean-Jacques Machado. And, like, I was messaging with him. Shout out to Armand. Armand, if you're listening to it, hope you're well. But listen, what a phenomenal guy. See, I love it. I love that guy. Like, he will go take seminar with anybody. He will go take a private with anybody. There is no ego. And then he goes back and he teaches at his own academy. Mm-hmm. And, like, this is how we grow. So, good for you, Armand, if you're listening to it.
Yeah, I think that that's – I wish more people had that attitude of I'm just here to learn. Why can't I go – some? You know, if you're – whatever – name a subject. Are you only going to read one book on it? No. I mean, if you really want to learn about it, you're going to seek multiple sources. And different, you know, we talk about different flavors of instructors all the time. Why do you have to be locked in someplace? One small room with one style, with one instructor. It doesn't make any sense to me.
Jiu-Jitsu is evolving. And I think this is slowly changing. I think we are on the path to a better Jiu-Jitsu as far as the growth is concerned. And I think in 10 years, this conversation will look very, very differently when our kids are... You know, when our kids are teaching classes and we are just watching them, yes,
sure.
You will be screaming from the sidelines.
Nah. We'll see. Yeah. But I think this will be a non-issue.
The question is this. Will your kids get black belts before you?
Nah, we all pretty much train the same way. Only if I die.
Well, so, I'll see you on the mat later today.
You will.
All right.
And I could, you know, maybe I'll die on that skateboard.
Oh, there's so many unknowns.
See ya.
All right, later.
Thank you for listening to Raw Radio. If you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a review and help us make the show even more amazing. For future episodes, check out our website and follow us on all major podcast platforms. Take care.